Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas. Wow, Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ. We have a full cast once again after a few weeks away. That the gang is all back to talk all things NBA, and I am very excited about that. Joining us, as he is every single week, longtime friend of the pod, Mr. Corbin Ford of Roundball Ramble and Basketball Intelligence and everywhere else. Corbin, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy to be on with the whole gang again. A little sore. Turned 29 last week, played basketball today, and all of a sudden my knees were like, no, it's different. Things are
different.
It only
gets worse. No idea. Man.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Lovely. So happy late birthday, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
What was your favorite part of your birthday?
That's a great question. I was pretty low key on my birthday. I'm not gonna lie. I probably watched some basketball. Actually, did some had a scouting report I'm doing. So I started doing some writing on that. I got to eat my cheat meal. There we go.
Okay, what is that?
It's Wingstop.
Okay,
they have this little deal right now. You got like one large fry and 20 boneless wings for like $15.
Okay, so you got chicken nuggets and
I hate people say that because it's not what it boneless chicken. No, that's like I eat with decorum. Like I'm not. You ain't gonna see me.
Chicken nuggets with decorum. Like they're still.
I'm not doing this today. This fight, I staged this fight so long. Like everyone judges me every time. I hold my head up high, but let me tell you, like sometimes the battle is too much to bear.
Look,
but here we are. Anyway,
man,
it was
like
good.
Chicken nuggets. Also here from up there in Toronto, Canada, Odd Shark and Raptors Republic, Chris Walder. Chris, good evening, sir. How are you?
My high, what just happened? It did it again. Didn't this happen like on a podcast we did like a month ago? The fireworks.
So I found out catch you do like a thumbs up or something, it will actually do the thumbs up. Like even just and like yeah. So StreamYard's just got a mind of its own these days. But yeah, no celebration, and it wasn't even your birthday. It should have been for Corbin. He should have gotten the birthday.
Yeah, I know.
The balloons.
Step up your game, StreamYard. Yeah. Now I'm afraid to move. I'm just gonna stick my hands down. Otherwise, like a dinosaur is gonna show up behind me. Like no, this is too much. For 11:30 on a Tuesday night.
Hey, look, we just started. Who knows what other things? Because I haven't seen balloons yet. I don't know what's happening, and it just feels like Big Brother's watching these pods and like waiting, like keeping track of what we're saying and just dropping stuff in to mess with us. Also here, playoff out, Mr. Kenny Spence. Kenny, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. I first of all, congratulations to Corbin on a new job. I didn't tweet at him, so I would say that.
Yeah. Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
Yes,
that's going to offset the warning I have for you. I haven't played basketball in years. One, the knee thing. I'm 31. That's tough. And also, I'll say I'm not a very small person, so there's high expectations when I step on a basketball floor.
Mm-hmm. When you say not a small person, what do you mean?
I'm 6'5".
Oh.
Dang.
Yeah, so there's expectations I'm not going to be able to live up to, so I just don't do it. But okay, I'm glad he's back.
Appreciate you, man.
6'5".
I know. Woo-wee.
Damn, what's the best part of being 6'5", Kenny?
Honestly, just being 6'5". just being 6'5". And also, when you're single, it's also, it helps. It makes things easier.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, there's not, I mean, there's not, you don't have to do a whole lot. You're just like, I'm 6'5".
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm 5'11", and it's always driven me nuts, because if you say I'm close to 6 feet, they're like, you're absolutely not 6 feet. Even though it's an inch difference, you can't say six, because everyone looks at you and like, you're clearly not 6 feet. You really can. But it's an inch. It's an inch. And I've never been able to say that. I've been tall and lanky my whole life, and I've never been able to say 6 feet. People be like, no, you're absolutely not. I'm shrinking. I'm probably closer to 5'10 now. That's the other great part about getting older, Corbin, is you shrink. You get older.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm literally posture just gets at worse. 6 feet. Oh, God.
Yeah,
right. You shrink because you're holding your knees all the time, so you're basically just like crouched over like this.
I've been limping all day, man. Like, I felt good, got some shots in, did a good spit, and then the rest of the day, help you at my job. I'm like, oh man, I walk like Doc Rivers now.
Oh my god, yes. Just wait, man. You're very close to 40, being closer to 20 for you.
Ooh,
I know. That reality hit me hard when you get to that point when you're like, I'm closer to 40 than I am 20, and that does not feel that long ago. It's a scary time. But happy birthday nonetheless. Congratulations on the new position as well. And you know, we got a lot of stuff to celebrate week in, week out here on this program. So first things first though, Corbin, as the birthday guy on this edition of the program, the latest on the Los Angeles Lakers, what's happened in the last 2 weeks with your team? And just saw this week that a bunch of guys are now out for the season in LA. What does all this mean for the Lakers?
I mean, this is just the day in the life of an average basketball team, right? Mm. Like, the most exciting news that came out of LA, what, was LeBron James' new podcast, right? with JJ Redick. Like, Lakers win a game that, you know, they beat Atlanta handily, which good on them. They should have done that. They lost a game to Sacramento last week in embarrassing fashion, where LeBron put up the worst performance of the season for him. AD was kind of listless, you know what I mean? So, and then they had a game against Golden State this weekend that was just ridiculous on a number of levels, between the 16 minutes of real-time stoppage for a variety of calls and just the Lakers losing momentum. It was rough. So it's been up and down. But the Lakers are that team. They're average, right? Like, they have AD, they have LeBron, they have the eyes, they're in LA. But, like, this is what they are. Even the news of the injuries. I mean, listen, I hate to say this, Kenny, but I put this on Twitter. We got finessed. We got finessed by Gabe Vincent. He gave us the good old fashioned Kendrick Nunn. You know, where, you know, we were, just like Kendrick Nunn, I had like mild interest. Like, I didn't really care. I was like, oh cool, like, he played good in Miami. He had a good, it was exactly like a Miami thing to them. I'm like, didn't he have a good playoff run? Okay, cool, it'll be helpful. And he proceeds not to play the whole season, and then he plays some of the next season, and we let him go. And then he's not in the league anymore. I'm not saying the guy went to Gabe Vincent that didn't have Kendrick Nunn, but basically, like, he's been gone all season. When he did play, he was horrific, right? And so now it's a formality. But, like, real ones knew he wasn't playing this year. Like, he's been on the bench all this time. Yeah. Christian Wood was a sad loss, in my opinion. I've been very high on him, and I thought he had some moments. He just couldn't really find a rhythm, which, I mean, Darvin Ham's coaching. It's kind of hard to do that. But, you know, like, I thought he was okay. It's kind of unfortunate he'll be gone for the year. And then Jared Vanderbilt's the biggest loss, right? But, again, we kind of knew he was going to be gone for the year too. Like, the way that the word had came out, like, his foot and everything, and then, oh, but maybe not. But you didn't really give a whole lot of details, you know? So at the end of the day, like, Lakers destined for the play-in, right? Unless something catastrophic happens. We'll see if they can get out of that. We'll see if they can make an entertaining first round, unless it's against Denver, in which case we know how that'll go. But yeah, like, it's not. I spent probably more time just now on the Lakers right now than there really is news to break down them, in my opinion. Like, they just ebb and flow, you know, and the consistency just isn't there. And I don't know if it starts with Darvin Ham. Obviously, you're asking for a lot on LeBron James. AD's been dominant defensively, but offensively, I think, has regressed a little bit. The supporting cast, you know, you have great games from, you know, D'Lo, and then not so great games. And Austin Reeves, I was going to say Austin Rivers, has great games and not so great games. So, you know, it's the journey of a team that's destined to go out in the first round.
I think we can make it out of the play-in.
Huh?
Do you think they make it out of the play-in? Like, do you think? Okay.
The Lakers have a good record in the play-in for some reason. Like, I don't, in a one game, one off thing with LeBron, I don't doubt it, right? Like, I won't until they lose in the play-in, and then I will. But, like, right now, like, no, I think they've pulled it out twice now, right? in the LeBron James tenure. Like, they've pulled it out. So I don't have a reason to believe that they won't. I think that they can lock down any team. Like, they're good. They can beat almost any team, I'd say, until you get to, like, well, Denver. You know, Denver and Sacramento give the Lakers the hardest problems. Like, they have no answer. And LeBron said it both times, which is, like, LeBron's way of saying, yeah, shit, we can't do anything. Where he's like, oh, they have our number. Like, if LeBron says that, like, bruh, it's a wrap, right? Yeah. But it's only the Kings and the Nuggets. I mean, these other teams, like the Lakers have beaten Phoenix, they've beaten the Clippers, they've beaten OKC, they've manhandled OKC. Like, they've been good against these other squads. So, as we get lower into the rankings, like, you know, I don't think the Lakers, I wouldn't favor them per se, but I definitely feel confident on their chances. Now, again, once they get out of that, then we get back to what we're talking about.
Can you explain to me what Sabonis does that just makes Anthony Davis's life terrible? Can you explain this to me?
Yes, I can. So, AD, at this stage in his career, like, if he's playing like a Chet Holmgren or a smaller center, he's bigger than them, right? And he can just overpower them. If he's playing like a bigger, more lumbering center, like a Vucevic Zubac or something, he's quicker than them, right? But Sabonis is like the perfect mix of like quicker than AD, but just as strong, if not maybe even a little stronger, right? The same thing we see with Jokic, where at least AD has like a quickness advantage on Jokic, but Jokic, like, down in the torture chamber, it's a wrap, right? Like, Sabonis has like a little bit of that, with the addition of being like shifty as well. And so AD just has a problem matching up against all of that, right? And forget the fact that you are going through screening action after screening action. You got to, you know, defend the back line because your guards are getting beat because one of Austin Reeves or D'Lo is guarding De'Aaron Fox, which is like, yikes. You know, so like, it's a lot of different things you have to do. But individually, like, the mix that Sabonis has between the relative speed and the strength that he provides is a matchup that AD at his stage right now, you know, slow with injury, a little bit bigger in the frame, it's harder for him to deal with. And so I can't explain the earlier. I mean, he's 0-9. Like, you got your butt kicked a few times. I can't explain, like, early in those matchups. But at least right now, like, it just doesn't – he doesn't look comfortable playing defense on him. And I get it. Like, Sabonis is very skilled. But also, like, you would think AD would have a better shot. But nah.
Interesting. On the other side of things, the Los Angeles Clippers, who've kind of had a rough month of basketball here, that have some folks maybe doubting if they can make it through the West after building a lot of buzz the early part of this year. Kenny, when you look at the Clippers to this point, are you at all concerned about their playoff chances based on what you've seen of late? Or do you think they just, hey, this happens throughout the course of a long season and you're not wavering on where the Clippers are at as a team right now?
So typically, I wouldn't worry about it because it is a long season. Teams have their ebbs and flows. But when you look at the players themselves, they have, James Harden's whole career, but Paul George sort of recently, they have rough times around this time of year, period. And so there's enough of a track record for me to be concerned for them. And if I'm not mistaken, Russell Westbrook is still out. And so it's tough for the Clippers, but that's always been is those players being able to step up at the right time has been an issue, and health has been an issue. And it hasn't affected Kawhi, so great for that. But even still, it's just as great as the Clippers look, there always were these questions in the back of our minds, and now we're kind of really seeing it. And so I like that team. Hopefully they could turn it around, but would I bet money on it? Probably not.
Yeah, I'm still not quite there because I think their top end healthy version of the Clippers is still really, really good. And I mean, this is still some of the best James Harden we've seen in years, and what that can be. I think maybe I'm silly for getting swooped in again, but I'm going to roll with it. I think this is a sneaky big year, and I still would lean towards them being okay and them being a very, very tough four game out in any best of seven series. I think they're going to be a really hard team to beat four times. What say you, Chris?
Turn on the mic there for a second. That's always a good thing. Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of anticipated the Clippers probably being the biggest threat to the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference. They've kind of fallen off as of late, but I think that was kind of going to happen. Like, their injuries are starting to show. Like, Kawhi Leonard doesn't seem invincible anymore. James Harden has been a breath of fresh air for that offense, but at the same time, we have seen Harden kind of come up short in big games. That especially rings true in the postseason. So I haven't completely lost faith in the Los Angeles Clippers. I still think they probably will end up in the Western Conference Finals, but they are also the type of team that could also kind of comp out in the first round and really disappoint a lot of people. So I'm kind of still in wait and see mode, but the optimism is there. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, they're third in offense right now in the NBA still, even with their ebbs and flows. I think the bigger issue is maybe that they fall into 13th in defense, and you hope that that turns around, because, I mean, they've been a top 10 offense and defense all year long, that you wonder if they can get back to that point. But I don't know. I'm not selling the Clippers stock if they're healthy. I think they're still right there in the top 6-7 in net adjusted net rating, where like the Celtics are just ridiculous. Like, I don't know if y'all have, like, perused like the disparity between the Boston Celtics and everybody else, like plus 11.2 for the C's, and the next closest like 6.1, which is just crazy over this point in the season. And also, who had before the year the Oklahoma City Thunder, Minnesota Timberwolves, and New Orleans Pelicans would round out the top four in net rating by mid-March? Who had that? Like, this is unprecedented for those three to be in there with Boston at the top of the NBA, but that's where we are. Chris, building off that thought, though, in terms of making a deep run and where the Clippers are at, I'm curious, like, Kyrie obviously had just an unbelievable game winner. Him and Luka are cooking of late. I don't know. Speaking of like teams that I just think are going to be a really hard team to beat four times in a 7-game series, I think Kyrie Luka is just going to be a brutal, brutal matchup for whoever they get, especially if they're in the lower end of the West, like for a team like Minnesota, if they're a team like Oklahoma City, who's going to put a lot of pressure on those young guards, and see what SGA and Luka would be so much fun over a 7-game series in round one and what that would look like. But are you now buying a little bit more into the Mavs as a sleeper deep playoff run? And what are the odds makers saying when it comes to the Mavs right now?
Honestly, like, I'm very skeptical about the Dallas Mavericks. And I think a lot of it has to do with their current seeding. Like, if they end up as the sixth seed, which they're currently tied with the Sacramento Kings, I believe, or in that range, they would end up with one of those powerhouse teams in the first round. Like Denver, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, they're kind of fluctuating on a night-to-night basis. Or they could fall into the play-in tournament, which in that case, if you're going for a one-off with a Phoenix or a Los Angeles or a Golden State, like, you don't need to beat Dallas four times. You just need to beat them once. And we've seen Dallas in the past choke out in first rounds. I think, you know, two of the last 3 years when they did make the playoffs, they lost in the first round, disappointing fashion. And I think a lot of people were buying more stock. Obviously, with Doncic, he had that streak of like 30-point triple-doubles, that historic streak. Kyrie Irving, you know, we're living in the present right now, that left-handed floater, which beat Denver, which was insane from the charity stripe, one of the greatest in-season game winners I've ever seen. But at the same time, I'm kind of really looking at the rest of the roster. I know they made some pickups with like PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. I don't know if those are the guys that can really win you games or help you win games in the playoffs. Gafford had that field goal streak, which unfortunately didn't break Wilt Chamberlain's mark. That was like one of the most random stats ever, just because of who he is. But I think right now Dallas is in a lot of hurt just because of how the season has gone. And I would take the Minnesotas, the Oklahoma Cities, the Denvers in the first round. I think losing in the first round, you know, a lot of people say, how much can Luka Doncic swallow before he really starts to ask the front office, you know, what are we doing here? We're not really making any progress. I think the Western Conference, he's just, it's so deep and so talented that a team like Dallas with Doncic, who's like third in the MVP odds right now, behind SGA and Jokic, of course, they can fizzle out very quickly. So yeah, I like a lot more teams than I do Dallas currently.
I don't know. I mean, Corbin, are you under that same line of thinking when it comes to the Mavs? Like, they're kind of, I mean, to Chris's point, I mean, they really could go, they're like one of the teams where, I mean, you could tell me they could make the Western Conference Finals, the NBA Finals. You could tell me they get beat in the play-in. Like, they're an all-over-the-place team. And I forgot someone who made the analogy of how they've been roster-building around Luka for the last 2 to 3 years. It's just so, there's probably so many parallels to LeBron's first run in Cleveland, where, I mean, Kyrie's obviously a better version of Mo Williams, but you see some parallels there. You see just like the PJ Washingtons, we're going to keep surrounding him with solid guys like Tim Hardaway, some shooters. We're going to get some vets, but like the picks are all gone. You don't really have, you're not really building anything long term. It just feels like you're just throwing random assets at the problem to try and appease the main cog. And it just doesn't feel like it's not an Oklahoma City where there's just so many different young pieces that are collectively being brought up together. Like I don't know. Do you see the parallels with LeBron's Cleveland first run with Cleveland?
Sort of. Like, I feel like what Cleveland did with LeBron was just franchise mismanagement, right? Like that's a case study in like how not to like really kind of help your team, right? Like signing players well past, remember 37-year-old Ben Wallace, 37-year-old yeah. Shaq, like literally as they're leaving. Oh, one more time. They're like, they're the epitome of that 2022 Lakers, mm-hmm. right? Where like 8 players on that team immediately would never set foot in the league again, right? So like Dallas isn't quite doing that, but it's just been mixed. It just hasn't worked. You know, they made the trade for Porzingis. I thought that was a solid trade. Yeah. It just didn't really work out, right?
It hurts to see him playing this well too and healthy and ball.
Yes, it does.
Like, he's maybe unbelievable right now.
No, he is. And maybe some of that's on Luka. Like the play style Luka is maybe similar to LeBron, where a certain type of player needs to play with LeBron, right? At best is your turn, my turn, which is ironic because Kyrie Irving, who was at his best playing your turn, my turn, LeBron, is now doing the same with Luka, right? But like, you know, like James Harden said, they're the system, but like he's the system, but really like LeBron's the system, Luka's the system. It's hard to build around that, right? Yeah. I think they finally figured out what worked for LeBron, right? You know, at the end of the day, space the floor, shooters, have your big man drawing from the basket. That sort of premise with another guy to attack from the second side or to initiate offense during long stretches, either alongside LeBron or, you know, when LeBron was out. Like something like that, right? They figured that out. Miami with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade figured out second set in Cleveland with Kevin Love and Kyrie, right? I think Dallas is still trying to figure out what that looks like. Right now, it's like a mix between Luka runs the offense and we have like a random, you know, eclectic mix of maybe some shooters and maybe some defenders, and you got to have a rim roller because Luka needs that rim guy, right? But like, that's kind of the mix, right? And Kristaps came in, wanted to play, you know, give him the ball a little bit, let him shoot the ball. He's not picking and roll, he's picking and popping. That's not Luka's style. Now, you know, yeah, Jalen Brunson, that was a unique balance between him and some other guys, you know, Max Kleber healthy and Dwight Powell younger, and you know, that kind of worked, but not really. And now you have this. The newest interpretation of that, where you have a Kyrie who can still go off and take attention from Luka, and you have just enough defense at times to cobble together. And yeah, you know, I think they had a little bit of a boost with the additions, of course, of PJ Washington and I'm forgetting his name. Thank you. Yes. Him, exactly. So like, he just set the record, the most forgettable record I'll ever remember. But, he almost set the record rather. But yeah, like right now, I think they're still trying to figure it out. And this is why I think they're interesting, because in my mind, like I'm more with Chris. Like, yeah, they could be pretty quick and out, right? But at the same time, like, don't let it turn to like a shootout, because Dallas won games last couple years in the playoffs in a shootout, right? And they have better talent offensively now than they did back then. I mean, depending on how you feel about, I think Jalen Brunson, it's safe to say, wasn't the Jalen Brunson that he is now. He was getting there. He was really good, but he's a different beast now. So I would take Kyrie now over what Jalen Brunson was. But even then,
the problem was you didn't trade Jalen. Like, that's the other thing. Is like, you lost Jalen Brunson for nothing. And well, I think that's what that's, is. And that's you lost an all-NBA player for nothing. And when you're building around a superstar like Luka, it's just those little things just kill you when you're in the early years of building around a star. It's like, you just can't. It's like the Hawks, where you can't give away Kevin Herter for nothing. You can't give away John Collins for nothing because you just sat on them for too long, or you just didn't pay them. And then those guys are gone and you didn't have internal replacements and they just got worse and you had less depth. And then before you know it, you're like, oh, Garrison Matthews is playing 25 minutes a night. And it's because of that yearly little things, roster management issues that just add up over the course of 2 to 3 years. And I just feel like that's something that Dallas has been a victim of. I mean, a lot of random stuff, like Daniel Gafford's over here, like Derrick Jones is playing the three, and you're like, okay,
Dante Exum back from out of the league, like,
but that's awesome. Exum's an awesome
seven threes against that league, yeah. Huh?
That's an awesome story. I love
it. Oh, it is. Story. I love a good reclamation story, especially for a guy who you need to reinvent his role, you know, and he found a way to do so. But yeah, I think, what, 28, 29? Like, he's in his late 20s, 27, 29, one of those ages. Because he's what?
28. Right on, man.
Thank you. Nailed it. You know, I just remember thinking when he was drafted and doing the math there. But yeah, so like, boom. I just feel like they're an interesting team. You have games like this where against Denver, like, let's be real, like, Dallas found a way to win when they shot, what, 20% from three? Like, they're able to buckle down, make it tough a little bit, you know, stay in the game, and pull out a victory. Now, mind you, it's one game against a Denver Nuggets team that you know, who knows the effort they're really giving right now. But still, I mean, I wish the Lakers had a game like that against them. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, if you can proved to be a little bit versatile, and Dallas has the weapons to potentially be that. They just haven't had the consistency to do so. So, like, if you can do that, I'm still saying, you know, first round exit. But, like, it's possible that they go second. I wouldn't be surprised even in the conference finals. At this point, like, who knows?
Dallas is, like, the ultimate, like, single elimination tournament team. Like, if the NBA playoffs were single elimination one year, they just did it just because.
Yeah.
I would pick Dallas. Like, I think it would, like, just telling Luka and Kyrie, you just have to win, like, six games total over the course of this two-week stretch. They're like, all right, we'll put a 50 piece of, like, every night, and we'll guide our team. Because, I mean, I could see them. They can beat anyone in the NBA. Like, they're just that team at any given point. They have the firepower and the top-end offensive talent that they can beat anybody. They're the ultimate single-game elimination, like a March Madness for the NBA. They might be my favorite, just because I could see, like, they're the team who would have a two-week heater and just beat everybody. And you're like, they're not the best team, not the best roster, but the best version of them is pretty scary. Chris, what is up with the Toronto Raptors this week?
Not a hell of a lot, Chase. if you've been following the Toronto Raptors, I saw someone that I once had on my own podcast. He was tweeting about how the season has unfolded for Toronto and how it's actually kind of more depressing than the Tampa season, because at least the Tampa season, I know we weren't in Toronto and with the pandemic and everything, but at least stemming from that, we got Scottie Barnes, who's now the face of the franchise. Mm. Now the team is obviously tanking. Obviously some horrible luck with Scottie Barnes getting hurt. Jakob Poeltl, who is our best interior defender, is injured. Chris Boucher, who just worked himself back into the rotation, he was in the doghouse, now he's hurt. And horrible circumstances with RJ Barrett, whose younger brother just passed away. So he's going to be away from the team for a while. Emmanuel Quickley, it has personal reasons. He won't even be playing in the next game as well. So just a lot of just like a dark cloud hovering over the team at the moment. And then the underlying issue is that the draft pick that we were supposed to have this year is now top six protected in possession of San Antonio after we had to send that away for the Jakob Poeltl trade initially. So the Raptors may not even end up with a draft pick at the end of this. So there's a lot of finger pointing at the moment, a lot of people looking at the front office, the construction, a lot of people looking at head coach Darko Rajakovic saying, hey, you know, it's your first year, but the defense is terrible. And I'm like, guys, like, our best defenders on an already pretty mediocre defensive team aren't even playing. So, yeah, of course, we're going to have to score 140 points a night, because that's the only way we're going to be able to be competitive. Best case scenario at this point is that, you know, the Raptors just kind of tank out, which I don't even think they have to intentionally do. They're just not good enough to win games. And then, you know, the ping pongs fall in their favor and they can at least salvage that pick. I know it's not a great draft this year. And I know they can also use it next year as well if they do keep it. But damn, at least get something, you know, hopeful out of this year. Otherwise, the big highlight is Scottie Barnes being named an injury reserve all-star.
That was depressing. That was 2 minutes. And that was, I mean, we've had some sad Corbin Laker stuff. We've had my rant in the Hawks. And this season is not great. It's like, rough, Johnson's hurt again. Kenny had his little bit there with the Heat on a bad little run, but the Heat
are
nothing like that. That was good.
I will say, like, something
is Grady Dick at least fun? Are you excited about Grady Dick?
Grady Dick, at the start of the season, I was very harsh about him because I was saying, you know, I looked at the players that were drafted after him who were providing tangible value immediately. And I know a lot of times you have to be a little bit patient with some of these guys. Raptors hit it out of the park with the Barnes pick. He really looked like a stud immediately. Grady Dick, I thought he didn't even look like an NBA player. Like, there was a reason that he wasn't playing. It wasn't because the team was deeper at the time. We had Siakam, we had Ananobi, we had more players at the time. But Dick looked just so out of place.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He looked very, like his confidence was completely shot. And if you draft a player to be a shooter and he's not shooting very well, then he's not really bringing much to the table. But the Raptors sent him down to the 905, the G League affiliate. He came back much more poised. He's providing much more than just shooting. He's rebounding. He's trying to play defense. He's a great cutter. So he has more to offer than just being like a Jason Capono clone. So I am hopeful that Grady Dick, you know, he can be like a significant part of the rotation moving forward. I know you guys are probably in the chat for people who have no idea. There's a lot of Dick jokes going on right now. shout out to the Anthony Black and Grady Dick.
Oh yeah.
It's probably a top three moment for the Raptors this season. I'm not even lying.
Oh my god. Oh, that's good. I mean, that's a little bit of positive. I didn't realize you lost your pick if it's top six protected. That it ranks in the top six. I didn't realize that. That's rough, man. That's rough.
It's bad, man. Who are we going to pick anyway? The draft is not good.
Is Darko good? Like, no one's going to make a good coach? Is he good?
I think he can be a good coach. He's just in a very crappy situation. Like,
what's the biggest difference he inherited than Nick Nurse? Like, what have you noticed is the biggest difference between his coaching and Nick Nurse's coaching?
I mean, the big takeaway for me was even initially is that Nick Nurse wasn't a player's coach. Darko was a player's coach. Coaching wise, he's still trying to figure out his rotations and who he can count on, like on any given night. But Nurse was, and I think I've said this before, like he's kind of like the mad scientist, and he was more interested in putting players in specific spots and just trying to come up with creative schemes, especially on offense. Darko isn't that guy, but you can tell that he genuinely cares about the players. But it's just the players that he has now are not the players that he had initially. So he's still trying to figure it out on the run, and people calling for his head are being ridiculous because no one would thrive in this scenario.
Kenny, league pass team right now. Why and why not the Brooklyn Nets? This is going to be tough. Sell the Brooklyn Nets for the casual NBA fan who has a league pass subscription at the moment.
Cam Thomas might go off. There's like a 1 out of 5% chance he'll go off, and that's going to be fun. Other than that, I got nothing, to be completely honest with you. Mikal Bridges, as much as I like Mikal Bridges, he probably shouldn't be your team's franchise player. And that's the case in Brooklyn, so they only have so much of a ceiling. And Ben Simmons, I know he's polarizing. I like Ben Simmons. And watching those games when he was available was fun because he'd come in off the bench at the time. They still had Spencer Dinwiddie. And he'd be like, the way I compared it, I think it may have been on my show. It was like the Pulp Fiction scene where they stuck the girl had OD and they injected her the adrenaline shot. That's what Ben Simmons provided off the bench for that team. He's out now. And so it's kind of like just a whole bunch of Cam Johnson, who I like, but it's a lot of them. It's a lot of Mikal Bridges. It's, again, who I like, but it's a lot of them. I can't really sell you on that team, man. It's just they and we talked about it before. They have some moves to make, but we don't know if they're competent enough to make them. And so it's just tough out there in Brooklyn, man. But yeah, I honestly I can't sell them on the audience. I'd recommend another team.
I watched Nets Magic. God, this is bleak stuff. Like doing my morning coffee, watching Nets Magic with my with League Pass, and they're just weird. Like they're a really weird team to watch with Dennis Schroeder, and you're like, oh right, he's not a Raptor anymore, and he's running around. Cam Johnson just like doesn't do anything other than he slides down the 3-point line. Like it's kind of funny to watch him move on the offense. Like if you just watch Cam Johnson, it's kind of wild. It's almost like he has like a force field around the inside of the paint. It's just he's like not allowed to just go anywhere near that. He rotates around the perimeter. But I mean, Cam Johnson's obviously an elite shooter in the league, but it is just kind of funny. It's tough for them to score. Like that is, it's a bleak offensive situation. most nights. But yeah, I don't know. The Nets are, I mean, we'll see if Kevin Ollie keeps his job and he gets the interim. But I mean, most teams don't do that. I'm trying to think of the last team that's done that promoted the interim coach to full-time back-to-back, because they just did that with Jock Vaughn. I doubt they do it again with Kevin Ollie, but I don't know if y'all have anybody off the top of your head where the team has promoted the interim to the full-time position back-to-back cycles. But I mean, anything's possible, but that would surprise me. But yeah, I just, the Nets have a lot of moves to make, and they're just like kind of a quiet disaster in Brooklyn. I think they're just in trouble, like with picks, with assets, with guys. I mean, they're gonna keep Mikal Bridges, I guess, but it's like, why are you just like, if you get multiple first round picks to give up Mikal Bridges, I don't know why you're gonna say no to that, because what, by the time you're quote unquote good again / contending, Mikal Bridges is just not, like, it's just, I don't know, to me I'm like, the timelines don't work anymore. Mikal just does not fit your timeline, and right, he's just too good not to move. But that's my estimation.
Yeah, this is a team that they need to rebuild. There's not much else they can do. I believe they've reached their ceiling, and they need to start over. They need to start, yeah, from scratch. Mikal Bridges is much better suited contributing to a good team like he did out in Phoenix than he is trying to create a good team on his own. But they, like you said, they've committed to keeping him. And so I just don't understand why that is. And so it's probably going to be another rough few years for the Brooklyn Nets.
I tend to agree. Corbin's Corner, NBA thought that has you fascinated this week is what, sir?
It's actually NBA adjacent, but I mean, okay, we got, you know, March Madness here. We have a lot of teams, you know, kind of at the bottom that are really, really bad. Brooklyn, like you mentioned, Kenny, and you know, talking about them. Like, I'm curious as to, I'm starting to look at mock drafts. I'm starting to look at these players. Like, this is not a very strong draft. I think everyone said that. And you had a few people like, oh, I don't know about that, maybe. And now we're back to no, like, not that strong. So, like, I mean, at this point, you have a guy like Zachary Richichet, who's like, basically you're like a 3-and-D wing who doesn't really do a whole lot of like creation outside of, you know, shooting, but a good shooter, like possibly going number one. You know what I mean? You have like question marks at every spot. Alex Saar, who like Sam Vecenie kind of compared offensively to like a Nick Claxton. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not picking Nick Claxton number one. You know what I mean? Like you got a bunch of question marks here in all these different areas. And so I'm wondering, okay, if you're like, are we going to see a lot of trades of draft picks? Like, you know, especially higher moving up here, because like, this does not look really good. If you're Brooklyn right now, like, I mean, first, if you got your pick, but like, what are you doing? Cause it's not a tentpole guy, at least right now, that's going to manifest itself. Sure. You know, 2013, you know, you had the Anthony Bennett draft, but you had what? Rudy Gobert, 27, you had Giannis go 15. Like, it might be one of those. And that's cool for like 3-4 years down the line. We're talking about like right now. And so I'm curious as to like, what are the moves that these teams in the gutter are going to make moving forward? Because they all need to draft for need. Like, you know, forget a fit. Like, you need a need. But at the time, like, the players that are available right now, can they actually do that? I don't know. And so that's my thought, because we're getting there. March Madness is here. I think, and not only that, but like four of the top players in the mock drafts that I've seen aren't even in college. So like, it's just going to be a mess. But that's what I'm very curious and keen on seeing, like how that unfolds.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of Kentucky guys. I mean, I think it was Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer had Reed Sheppard going number one overall to San Antonio. And as someone who watched Reed Sheppard cook my team 2 weeks ago, I mean, he has unbelievable shot creation, unbelievable shot making ability. Like, he's a shooter. Like, he can shoot, and he has a good floater. Like, he has a lot of feel. And I could immediately see him torching some NBA defenses when he gets to the league. But like, one overall, like, I get the fit with San Antonio. No, and they need shooting and point guard help. But like, Reed Sheppard number one would be wild.
Yes, it would. That's just Kevin being, I don't know. Like, I think I get, I mean, let me not speak disrespect. I value some of his thoughts. Sure. That's wild to me. Like, that makes zero sense to me. Even the dude's like 6'2". I mean, yeah, the dude is decent offensively, but like, if you look at some of the comps he's been compared to, like a better shooting Austin Reaves, that's great. Like,
Austin Reaves, number one overall.
Again, I mean, exactly. Also, he's going undrafted. Mind you, some of that was his own sake, but he was like, he wouldn't draft the lottery. Like, what I'm trying to say is that, no, that's wild to me. You know, I love Rob Dillingham, but like Rob Dillingham, like, kind of has some shooter. Lou Williams, like, own Highland type vibes. I'm not drafting that first, second, or third.
Malik Monk. It's just Malik Monk, Monk bucket,
Highland, like... Lou Williams. Yeah, shifty guard, points in a hurry. What's defense? That kind of guy.
Oh, he gets in foul trouble quickly. He both games against Tennessee, he was in foul trouble. They got him
He was the OTE champion.
He's
going
to have some problems there. But my guy Dalton Connect, he was mocked to the Hawks at 10. Oh my God. Like, I might move. I might buy like a little hut somewhere in Atlanta to come back so I can go to every Hawks home game for a little bit and try and tie my wife into it. Like, for Dalton Connect, are we going to do? Dalton Connect with Trae Young and Jalen Johnson and company. Oh my God. Like, me being able to...
That's a rousing seventh seed right there, for sure.
Have you watched Dalton Connect play basketball, Corbin Ford?
No, I have.
First-team All-American, Dalton Connect here in Knoxville, Tennessee?
Have you watched him play defense?
He's trying. That's why he came to Tennessee. He's trying. He's getting better. He's getting better as the course of the year.
Atlanta Hawks, we try. No, I'm with it. Okay.
I love Dalton. DK is the best.
He's a good, like, offensively, like, nasty with it. I'm not saying that, but yeah. I'm just not super high on this draft, but it's what's making it really cool for me to dive into, is because I want to be high on it. So each time I go in, like, we're going to find something, and it's like, no, I don't see it. But, like, I'm excited to see, you know, I love that you're excited
that you're not excited. Like, that's what's happening here, is, like, you're like, wow, I'm really not excited about this draft. This is amazing. It's funny.
Yes, it's weird. Okay, it's like the feeling of horror I had as a Laker fan as we watched Cam Whitmore slide and slide and slide and go, oh, we could almost get him, but knowing that we wouldn't get him. Or the year before that with Jake.
Or Hardy, like the weird rumor that you were going to take Bufkin and then we surprised you guys. Like, I didn't really understand that. Like, why would Bufkin
made no sense to take Bufkin. But it also made no sense to take Jalen Hutchinson, and yet, oh, look what we did. So, sorry, I'm Corbin's so mad about that. Oof. Let's move
on. It's always worse, though, when it comes out that, like, personnel man X was at a random game and saw him and was like, that's our guy. And you're like, that's not how any of this should go. Like, that's not what you want to see as a sentence as to why you drafted somebody, like, because one of your guys just happened to be there.
Rob Pelinka happened to be watching his alma mater, saw the other guy and went, wow, that guy's a step. Sorry, Cam Whitmore's been lighting it up all year.
Yeah.
Like, and then just throwing down all this stuff. Jalen Schifino was solid, but answer my own question. What is he going to add to the Lakers? He's added nothing.
I got my question while we're on this, because Jaime Jaquez Jr. was right there at UCLA.
Listen, that could have been another one right there too. I said Cam because he slipped so much. Like, Jaime, I had questions about, you know, older guy, kind of like, no, like, you know, the same, and that's making me rethink those. But you're right. You could have had him. Like, you could have anybody. You could have had the Usher. I was taking a random Usher. I wasn't a big Jalen Hutchinson fan. And you're right. Like, you hate it when, like, I don't know, you hear the stories well after the fact about an executive, like, who is paid to make these decisions, you know, making the same decision that I make when I decide what fast food place to go to for lunch. Like, I guess we can go here. Why not? Like
I'm in the neighborhood.
I don't know. There you go.
Chris, you're wild. Walder's wild NBA thought of the week is what, sir?
I don't know if it's wild. I just think it's just. Kind of connecting it to my odd shark position, because I'm updating the site in terms of the NBA award odds. And the one award that stuck out to me was NBA Most Improved Player, which a number of, you know, betting sites have kind of narrowed down to four players. In actuality, there's only two that can realistically win it. I'm just going to say it. Tyrese Maxey does not deserve to win NBA Most Improved Player.
Right.
Wow.
I think, considering where he was coming from last season, the leap that he made now, sure, he was already looking like an all-star last year. Now he's a bona fide all-star. You can't convince me that any player has made more of a leap from last year to now than Kobe White of the Chicago Bulls.
Exactly.
He absolutely deserves to win NBA Most Improved Player. You look at his numbers, he's essentially doubled his output in every major statistical category. He's shooting more efficiently from the field, shooting better from three-point range. And if you look at Tyrese Maxey's numbers, his shooting percentages have plummeted. And I understand that he is now the face of the Sixers with Joel Embiid out. He is the guy that defenses are planning, you know, to stop when they're taking on the 76ers. Kobe White, his minutes have jumped. I think he went from like 23 to like almost like the most minutes in the NBA. He's like 36, 37 minutes per game. So of course his numbers are going to go up. But if you're just using that as the basis for most improved player, again, White was kind of an afterthought last year. The guy was averaging single digit points. Now he's the starting point guard for a Chicago Bulls team that's kind of kept themselves afloat in a year where Zach LaVine was hurt for most of it. A lot of people were calling for, you know, to blow it up, get rid of Vucevic, get rid of DeMar DeRozan. The Bulls have kind of maintained the pace that they've been on. And I think Coby White has kind of been a revelation for them, someone that they can easily build around once they do start kind of moving some of those pieces. So the odds have Tyrese Maxey at like minus 320 currently. I think that's undeserved. I would absolutely, if I had a vote, give it to Coby White.
Is he the betting favorite or is it Maxey?
Maxey is the heavy betting favorite. So I'm looking right now. So Tyrese Maxey is at minus 320. Coby White is at plus 230. And the other two players that oddsmakers have, Jalen Williams of the Thunder at plus 4,000. He's not in it. And Kuminga of the Warriors plus 9,500. So it's really a two-player race at this point. Coby White, if you are a better out there and you're looking at some pretty sweet odds, give Coby White a shot, because I think a lot of voters out there are going to show him some love.
So and maybe this is just a get off my lawn type thing, but as far as the Tyrese Maxey, I don't like when players who were already good win this award.
Yeah.
Like, especially like the Ja Morant thing was kind of disgraceful to me. Like, we knew who Ja Morant was. Mm-hmm. So I want Coby White to win it. I just wanted to say that real quick. I don't like when players who were already really good win it.
And yeah. Lauri Markkanen too, like he was already kind of like established as a pretty decent player. I know he became an all-star and he was more name recognition at that point. But yeah, I'm totally with you. Like Coby White, he genuinely improved his game in literally every aspect. And you can't just say, well, he's getting more minutes. Of course, his production is going up because, again, like I mentioned, Maxey is shooting the worst of his career, both from the field and three-point range, and he's shooting more shots, which he has to do. Coby White has incorporated himself into what the Chicago Bulls are trying to do, and he's been one of their best players. So I don't understand the logic of thinking that Maxey is the runaway favorite. It should absolutely be White.
I like it. Okay, there you go. Final thing here. Kenny, your team, the Miami Heat. What is new with the Heat, sir? Bam Adebayo had a crazy shot, the longest of his career.
Yeah, that was amazing, but injuries, man. That's what's been going on with the Heat. They got right to the four seed. Tyler Hero had already been hurt. Kevin Love is hurt now. Jimmy Butler is hurt. Nikola Jovic is out now. Last game, DeLon Wright got injured, but he came back in. Duncan Robinson hurt his back last game. We're not sure of his status yet. I just listed six players.
Yeah.
Right when they got near the four seed. And so it's been tough. Since we last been on, they lost to the Wizards. They played two close games with the Pistons. Well, one close game with the Pistons and one was close a lot of times and they kind of expanded the lead. But you really just don't want to see that heading into the playoffs. And I understand this is a team that, not even just last year, they always kind of step their game up in the playoffs. So that's a little bit helpful as far as me having hope. But I just have no idea what the team's going to look like. We still never really got a chance to see Terry Rozier and Tyler Hero together while Terry Rozier was actually making his shots. So they have to figure that out. If Tyler Hero's back, he took an injection to try to come back faster. They said they're going to reevaluate him in about a week. But it's just the worst time possible for the entire team to get injured. And so, man, hopefully they have enough time to come back in and get a few games in sort of healthy before they go into the playoffs.
So they're 23rd in offense right now. Why do you think they're struggling so much? Because obviously they're never going to play with pace. Like they're always going to be near the bottom in pace. Like what is it, just injuries and mismatching the lineups? Like why is the offense struggling as much as it is this year?
A lot of it is injuries. Tyler Hero is very important to the team in a sense, in a way that I don't think most people really understand. Because aside from, well, now they have Terry Rozier, but aside from Terry Rozier and Jimmy Butler kind of just either posting up or getting to the line, they don't have much shot creation. So when you don't have Tyler Hero, you're kind of struggling to get a shot off, even against teams like the Wizards or like the Mavs, who don't have this incredible defense. And so part of it is that. Part of it is Bam just was really struggling at one point. He got together the past few games, but he couldn't buy a bucket or a free throw. at any point most of last week. And so, and again, it's also the pacing. They're never going to be near the top of the league in offense because they just don't. And it's frustrating among Heat fans, and it's been this way since really after LeBron left and they kind of shifted the identity. Mm-hmm. It's like they refuse to get out in transition and get easy buckets. And so they're going to always at least they're not going to be near the top of the league in offense, I don't think, ever because of like that. But it's a slippery slope. You're depending heavily on half-court offense with a personnel that probably, even if Tyler Hero's not on, which he's a lot more consistent than he gets credit for, but if he's not on, if Terry Rozier is not on, you're going to really struggle on offense because as great as Bam is, he doesn't create for himself. And so it's just the offense is going to look that way sometimes.
Are you selling where the Heat are at? Who might step up here? Who benefits the most from just the injury bucketing this team right now? Oh,
Terry Rozier has been cooking.
Okay.
Terry Rozier has been on fire the past week and a half, whatever it is. So see, because when he first got there, he was getting great shots. He just wasn't making them. I believe he came to Miami already in a shooting slump. But that's completely gone. He's been incredible. Bam, the past few games, has been incredible. But they need the guys back. They just need the guys back. Not only to Tyler, but I want to also give a shout out to Nikola Jovic. He's finally found his way. He's actually not one of the worst defenders I've ever seen anymore. Like he's been good on that end. When he's in the game, they push the pace. If he rebounds, he's going, and they're in transition. So that helps a ton. So they definitely need him back. He said his injury is not serious, so he's hopefully going to be back soon, and we can start getting guys back. Kevin Love is probably a lot more important to the team than he should be at his age, but he's had a really good year in his role, so they also need him back. It's just their issue has been injuries, basically.
I like it. Well, there you go. Chris, what can the good folks check out from you all across the internet this week?
Odd Shark, baby. Find me on Odd Shark. I nailed my expert picks tonight. All three of my picks connected. My same game parlay for the Denver Nuggets game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, which turned out to be far more competitive.
Hold on. Don't tell me where that. Like, that's actually what I'm watching after I get off here. That's I have no idea who won that game or anything. Don't tell me who won that game.
You're like that Seinfeld episode where like Kramer comes in and spoils the New York Mets, the Mets game or whatever. Like I can't.
I mean, I'm serious. Like on my NBA TV, like I'm like after I'm like get off here and edit the audio. Like I'm watching that. And, yeah, sorry.
All right. Well, if you followed my same game parlay on Odd Shark, mm-hmm. you want some money tonight. But yeah, just find all of my work there. Raptors Republic as well. Oddspedia. You know the rest.
There you go, Corbin Ford. What about you over at Roundball Ramble Basketball Intelligence, at Swish Theory, and everywhere else this week?
Yeah, I'm going to have an episode of Rumble Rumble coming up this week. Going to go more into the draft. Going to talk some Charlotte Hornets because I've been covering them and God, they have been awful.
Worst net rating now.
Dude, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea where. Like, it was just rough. Watching today, like, it was literally painful. And that's saying something for my knees right now. But anyways, yeah, you can find me there on Twitter. Just doing all the basketball things.
I love it. Kenny, what about you over at Playoff Foul and everywhere else this week?
Yeah, man. Playoff Foul, our most recent episode in celebration of Selection Sunday, we talked about some of our favorite players before the NBA. So we talked about LeBron in high school. We talked about Steph in his college run. And we talked about Luka overseas because my co-host Lou is a really big Luka fan. And he also has a lot of fun scouting drafts. Mm-hmm. So he was on to Luka very early, actually a few years before Luka got into the league. So we went through Luka's journey, we went through Steph's journey, we went through LeBron's journey, and we also talked about our favorite college players of all time. And so I'd say definitely check that out. And then this Sunday we're recording an episode about the Grit and Grind Grizzlies.
There you go. That'll be good. I love it. Go subscribe, Playoff Out today, Roundball Ramble. Go make sure you're checking Chris's Odd Sharks picks every single night. And then, hey, the MIP, if that hits and you go Kobe White there, hey, you have Chris Walter to thank. So lock that in now. So there you go. Corbin Ford, Chris Walter, Nate Spence. Always a pleasure. And I will talk to you guys next week.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.